John Kurtz, Mitch Fortner with you. We go inside the fort at 4:50, putting Mitch's wrestling knowledge to the test. 5:10, the logistics of playing Wichita State are very important, but I do think K-State should be willing to play the Shockers. This in light of Bruce Weber and Gene Taylor's comments at the Wichita Catbacker event yesterday. Speaking of that Catbacker event, one of the morsels of information that came out of it was Bill Snyder with an update on Will Geary. And I will give some credit here to Twitter account of Chase Shannon, Chase_Shannon on Twitter, put this video out there of Bill Snyder updating the status of Will Geary. If you remember from spring football, we got some updates on that. He was not with the team, but Bill Snyder had left the door open for his return. I'm not sure that anything was, this really fits within the framework of what we were told in the spring at official press conferences. Just more detail, I would say, here from Bill Snyder on what is going on with Will Geary.
Will Geary had left school and taken all of his, taken incompletes in all of his classes. He is back now and working to finish up last semester's work and completing those incompletes. You know, after that, then he and I will sit down and we'll have pretty serious discussion in regards to, you know, what lies in the future for Will. Good young guy. I hope it works out well. You got it.
Little tough to hear, but I'll give you the synopsis if you did have difficulty there. The issue with Will Geary was that he took incompletes in a number of classes. Bill Snyder said he needs to go back, finish those up, complete them, get in good standing there. Then they will talk about him rejoining the team. Yeah, I've said all along, if you put a gun to my head, I would have to think Will Geary in all likelihood is going to be on the team. I think, as you can understand there, it comes down to how badly he wants it. If he wants to take care of the academic work, I think he is going to be welcomed back to the team. Will Geary is an All-Big 12 player, really first-team All-Big 12-S player. It is huge. It's a thing that not a lot of people are talking about, but I think a huge factor in how well the team does next year, the weakness of this team, more so than the offense, is the defense. Maybe not fair to call it a weakness, but we feel better about the offense than we do the defense. D-line, fairly thin. Not only would you be missing a frontline guy then on each level of the defense from last year if Geary is gone, if you throw in Elijah Lee and Dante Barnett, but you're just very thin on the defensive line as well. So there is a lot of importance to it, but at least we have some more clarity on what specifically is going on with Will Geary. If you have been listening to the show for a while, you probably heard us bust out the Wacky and Stormy intro before. I like to bring it out when I somewhat tongue-in-cheek have a very scalding hot take to get off my chest, the type of hot take that you may hear more on First Take. What is that show with Shannon and Undisputed? The hot take has really taken over, and I think those shows become really popular because you get wild and crazy. Wacky and Stormy comes from when Deadspin did a sports talk show name generator, and it just sounded so ridiculous and outrageous that we turned it into an intro, and I like to use it whenever I have one of these. And I do. It surrounds the NFL and their rule change where they're going to lax celebration penalties. They will allow more celebrations. For instance, the use of the football as a prop, falling to the ground, team celebrations, making snow angels, all those now okay by NFL guidelines. And I'm not going after the NFL here. I am, however, going after Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. So without further ado, it's time for a big-time hot take here.
All the screaming and hot takes you could ask for. Skip Bayless doesn't have on us. It's Wacky and Stormy on 7:30 The Sports Massacre.
All right, well, I've got no Stormy with me today, but I can be wacky here. In light of the NFL laxing their punishments for celebrations, here's a statement from Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis. It says, quote, "I'm not for that at all. We had a good standard, and the whole standard has always been you want to teach people how to play the game the correct way and go about it the correct way, and that's not a very good example for young people." Okay. As much as I hate that statement in a vacuum on its own, let's dig a little deeper here into Marvin Lewis, and it really doesn't take that much digging. Marvin Lewis coaches the Cincinnati Bengals. Since the year 2000, Bengals players have been arrested 44 times, including 9 DUIs, 9 assaults, and 6 cases of domestic violence. That's pretty impressive. That is a heck of a resume there for the Cincinnati Bengals. At this point in time, right now, they've been a lightning rod of controversy because they drafted Oklahoma running back Joe Mixon. That rings some bells? I know one bell he rung, and that was one that got him in a ton of trouble and was terrible. He wound up punching a female in the face at a Pickleman's, of all places, a sandwich shop. He broke bones in her face, and that has been something that's followed him for the last 3 years. A lot of teams considered him untouchable, undraftable in the draft. But here come the Cincinnati Bengals to scoop him up. He also coaches a team that employs Pac-Man Jones, who's been arrested 9 times since coming into the NFL, and one of those was him being accused of punching a woman outside a Cincinnati bar. Another Cincinnati Bengals player is Vontaze Burfict, who at Arizona State was a problem child the whole time he was there despite a world of talent. He's really got the reputation as maybe the dirtiest player in the NFL. He's been fined or suspended 4 times for illegal hits. Twisting ankles is a thing that he likes to do, and that's happened a bunch. He also cost the Bengals a playoff win with a personal foul penalty in 2016 when he went helmet-to-helmet with Antonio Brown, and that earned him a suspension. 2015, excuse me, when that happened. He was suspended then for the first part of the 2016 season because of said hit. So in light of all that, does it not seem a little hypocritical here for Marvin Lewis to be upset about the example that the celebration rules are setting for people? He seems to be more worried about Antonio Brown twerking than he is about Joe Mixon cold-cocking a female at a Pickleman's or Pac-Man Jones doing the same outside of a bar in Cincinnati. That is my wacky and stormy hot take here. I don't think it's really all that crazy. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody on the side of Marvin Lewis in this, even if you do agree with what he's saying. He is certainly far from the correct messenger for this. That's really the big issue here. We need to get to break if we're going to do Inside the Fort. Do you really want to take this phone call? Is it worth it? You're going to have to sell
somebody
me
somebody that wants to go one-on-one with John Kurtz.
Man, okay.
Don from Elmo.
Upset about my take on this, or
yes,
upset about going after Marvin Lewis?
Kind of both.
Okay, well, let's hear it. Let me have it.
Okay, well, you know, the coach can control the guys on the field, but he can't control them off the field. He don't get paid to be their daddy off the field. That's just like me having, this is like your boss telling you what you can do after hours when you're gone out of the radio station. You know, you got to draw the line between being a coach and being their daddy. He's not their daddy. They belong to him on the field, but when they leave that field, he don't have no control over. So you're going the wrong direction with that.
You find no hint of hypocrisy here from Marvin Lewis?
Well, no. I mean, that's just like having your boss telling you what you can do after hours. You know, you go in there at the radio station, you got to do your job, but when you leave, your boss on whoever your boss is, he can't control your life afterward.
Okay, well, you are correct about that. They could also then fire me after a domestic violence arrest, which I think a lot of people would be on board with that if that were to happen. The Bengals have not done that. They have continued to employ these people, and things have not gone well as far as that is concerned with the Bengals' reputation. I mean, they probably have the worst reputation of any team as far as this stuff is concerned in the NFL. So I appreciate the sentiment there. I do think there is a line to draw, and Marvin Lewis certainly is not responsible for their behavior off the field. Like, he cannot control it. You're right, he can't. But they can make decisions to get rid of some bad apples when domestic violence becomes a recurring issue here. That's my point. He's the wrong messenger. I think if he had more self-awareness, he'd realize he should not be the messenger with this thing because of how it comes off. It takes away some credence, I think, from his point of view. We'll wrap up the hour. Hopefully we have enough time here for Inside the Fort, complete with a new intro from Mitch coming up next.